The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Bob Dio, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show as we welcome in Friday, June the 28th, 2019, the last Friday in the month of June. And maybe there's a hint, kind of felt like humidities were a little higher this morning, just a little bit. So maybe the traditional monsoon start of the 4th of July will happen. I don't know. Maybe we'll get some rain even this weekend. We'll see. We're live weekday during the noon hour on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening and all of our podcasts, making it very easy for you to hear the program at buckmastershow.com. Friday's media partner shout-out day, and TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith, who happens to be with me in studio today. Dylan, thanks for your support over the years. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You bet.
Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, Dan Shear's organization, we thank him. The Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, which includes Inside Tucson Business and the Tucson Weekly. Our Friday Focus interview today, the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors with us in studio, District 1 Democrat Supervisor Richard Elias. District 5, excuse me. What am I talking about? I'm thinking about District 1. That's my district.
Wrong. Well, you know, they like me up there, too, Bill. I think I could win.
Yeah, there you go.
But
yeah,
I'm quite happy and proud to represent the
district
people of District 5.
Okay.
Chair, so you represent everybody anyway, right?
Thank you. But, you know, I need to tell you this, Bill.
Okay.
Because you opened this morning talking about humidity and a little bit of rain, and it rained at my house this morning.
No, it didn't.
On Drachman and Tucson Boulevard, it rained for about 5 minutes, and it ruined my copy of the Arizona Daily Star. It was soggy and wet, and I was like, well, I dig the smell, but all the water evaporated in about 5 minutes.
Wow, so it actually rained. Thank you for pointing that out. No. Joining us in studio, with Supervisor Elias, Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Mr. Smith is the vice president of the Arizona Press Club. He's also the immediate past president of a local independent online news publishers.
It's all fancy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's an acronym for Lion Publishers. Joe Ferguson is with us, political writer at the Arizona Daily Star. Joe, how are you? What kind of week have you had?
It's been a busy week for politics, for sure.
There you go. We'll talk about that during the hour as well. All right, Supervisor Elias, a very important meeting. For the first time in many years, Pima County will actually start the fiscal year without a brand new budget. It's been decades since that happened. And what necessitated that was a vote on June 18th, a 4-1 vote. You were the lone dissent there. The other four, your colleagues, accepted Allie Miller's proposal to consider a property tax neutral budget. So from what I understand, Supervisor Elias, this is all about changing the budget, about saving $10 million. Is that accurate?
In the end, that's what it's coming down to.
Okay.
I'm not really sure what a tax neutral budget is in the manner that Supervisor Miller described it.
What is it?
I believe it's a budget that in aggregate offers the same amount of tax levy that you passed the year before. But there's nothing in statute to define that. And the definition used for the Truth in Taxation hearing requires us to be tax neutral in our primary tax, in our library tax, and in our flood control tax. And there's probably a good reason the state legislatures did not want to look at it in aggregate the way Supervisor Miller and my colleagues have agreed to.
Joe, do you want to add something to that?
Well, she actually said that there was a very tough tax year for the state, and she feels that the taxes need to be reduced at the county level instead. But it's a complicated arithmetic to really figure out what the tax rates will be, because she's already said she's willing to accept an increase in the library district tax, which puts more pressure on for Richard and the rest of the supervisors to cut deeper and harder into both the primary budget as well as the flood control budget.
So this isn't something where no one's tax rates will change. They might change a little bit, especially in the library district tax. It's not something where the amount you pay won't change, because that's entirely dependent on the assessed value of your house and the tax rate. So it's basically keeping the entire pot of money somewhat the same as last year?
Yes, from the spending perspective. From the revenue perspective, it changes.
It might be coming from slightly different places. So, people might be paying a little bit more or maybe a little bit less if they somehow get lucky.
Just like every year. That's mm-hmm. correct, Dylan.
Now, so where's this money going to come from?
The 10 million bucks
all that everybody at the county right now, except for, I guess, you and your staff, are feverishly figuring out how to chop out.
Trying to do the arithmetic.
Do you have any ideas yourself about where this could be?
Well, you know, what they're looking at right now is possibly doing a hiring freeze or eliminating county positions that haven't been filled in order to achieve some savings. Some proposals are about $8 million worth of savings there. But frankly, that's paper money. That's an accounting trick. Those positions aren't going to be filled likely. And the reason they're open is because they're very hard to fill. And when you put a freeze on them, they become even harder to fill. But the reality is, we're not going to fill those. And every year, there's a certain amount of attrition in county employees and county positions that don't get filled. So you realize that savings at the end of the year in your fund and balance regardless. So it's
money
trick.
That's budgeted that probably wouldn't be spent even if you had it in the budget.
That's exactly right. It's a paper trick. It's the kind of thing that got Arizona in a lot of trouble back when Janet Napolitano was governor. And we put in all these accounting tricks into the budget to say that we had come up with savings, and the truth was, we did not.
Isn't it conversely an accounting trick to have it in there in the first place?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's wrong that some of our departments have those extra positions that they have no intent on filling.
How about savings from some projects, Joe, and you know about this. I think there's a piece coming up this weekend, right, about flood control?
There is. So yeah. It looks like they want to make the neutral budget that Supervisor Miller wants. She needs $8.6 million in cuts in the flood control district. And so that is going to hurt the city of Tucson pretty bad. A lot of those projects, which were scheduled to start next year, are on hold. It's unclear if they're on hold for a year or multiple years. And these are projects that the city of Tucson has been begging for probably more than a decade.
For context, $8 million out of how much? What's the total budget there?
1. Something billion.
Well, you mean the total
for
budget?
Like just flood control.
Just flood control. Oh, okay.
I can't remember the number off the top of my head.
The whole county budget is, right, you know,
but it's a substantial
$1 billion
hit to their capital projects.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I represent a district where 90% of the folks I represent live in the city of Tucson. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of personal for me. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, we are switching to a pay-as-you-go system. So if the first thing we do in our first year in pay-as-you-go is to take a look at one of the departments that provides critical services that can even mean people's lives, because just Supervisor Bronson on this show on Wednesday told you, Bill, we're always at risk of floods. It never goes away. We don't know when the big one's coming. So the first year of pay-as-you-go, we're refusing to fund pay-as-you-go. Bad move, undisciplined, not good for the city of Tucson. Again, probably something that we really ought to rethink and vote very carefully. I intend to vote against it.
You mentioned you're a city resident, and you said, 90% of your constituents in District 5 are city residents. Now, we've had some Facebook inquiries today wanting me to ask you, will you be voting on the city if it makes the ballot? It's next week. We'll learn about that, right, Joe Ferguson?
I'm told by the organizers it's a lock.
that it's a lock, that they're gonna get on the ballot with the sanctuary city. Would you vote yes to that, Supervisor Elias? As a private citizen, of course, it's a city measure, and so you'd be voting as a citizen of Tucson.
I intend to vote yes if it makes the ballot, yes.
Bottom line, why?
Well, I think the administration right now is out of control, and ICE and Homeland Security are conducting raids in our communities already, where they're making wholesale arrests on people. The family separations that have continued, the lack of documentation surrounding that issue is frightening. The crisis with asylum seekers continues to get worse, and there appears to be no resolution to that. In fact, things seem to be getting more out of hand and more crazy. I think it's time that we stand up and recognize that this is maybe the most severe human rights crisis that we've had in America since the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. And we need to make everyone know loud and clear that that is not the values that we want to portray or the values we want to act on here in America.
Okay, Joe Ferguson?
I want to just step in. Even before that, we have the looming threat of these ICE raids in at least 10 American cities. Could be more. What would you do or tell the sheriff to do if those raids come to Pima County?
Well, clearly I'm opposed to our sheriff's department cooperating with the Border Patrol and ICE on Operation Stone Garden. This would fall into a similar area, and I would certainly wonder right now on the air, if it does come to Tucson, those raids, whether under Operation Stone Garden, our Pima County sheriffs would be assisting the Border Patrol or ICE in making those arrests. And that's only one of the reasons I was opposed to it. But that should frighten every listener, and that should frighten every resident of the United States.
Take our break right here. Richard Elias with us, Pima County Supervisors Chairman. Joe Ferguson is here from The Star, and Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, you've hosted the program. You'll be hosting it some more when I take a break in late August. Do you know, as you recall, on the run sheet, what is next?
I believe, in addition to hearing from all of your other wonderful Buckmaster Show sponsors,
yes,
we may be taking a brief audio journey to Mona's.
And we are going to visit Mona's Danish Bakery. We may not be visiting it physically, but you're going to donate it through, visit it through my words of description about a great breakfast. Are you up for breakfast sometimes any time of the day, Supervisor Elias?
I'm always ready to eat at Mona's, and I was hoping you guys would invite me. I mean, what's wrong with that?
There you go. Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Joe, have you been up there?
I have.
You have, and what did you recall what you ordered?
Oh,
one of the pastries?
I did. I went back for the Kringle.
There he goes. Home of the Danish Kringle, Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Open 6:30 each morning for breakfast. Owner and chief baker, Steve, he made a large investment with the grill, and he waited very patiently through Pima County, all the health permits that he got. He got everything he needed, and so they finally were up and running, and they're doing it right now. Open for lunch, of course, right now, and you can still do breakfast. There's a link at buckmastershow.com to Mona's. Also, you can go to their website directly, monasdanishbakery.com. When we come back, we'll ask Supervisor Elias about another important item that's on the Tuesday budget, about a bicycle resort kind of at the gates of Saguaro National Park. That will be one of the items on our agenda right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Richard Elias is here, District Number 5 Democrat with us. He's the chair of the board. Joe Ferguson's here. Joe will be covering that very important meeting. I think one of the most important supervisors meetings in years, actually. He'll be covering that on Tuesday. Dylan Smith is here from TucsonSentinel.com. So we've got a full table. And it's nice to have some room, isn't it, Dylan? If we were in our previous studios, what I refer to as the linen closet.
Yeah, we got some elbow room in this one. We can swing a little harder when we're asking some questions.
Yeah,
here.
So it'd be a little tight if we were still back in the linen closet. All right, on Tuesday, it could very well come down to a 4-1 vote. You could be painted as the bad guy on numerous accounts.
I'm okay with that. I mean,
one of them being you're not happy that there's no early childhood education in this budget. Two, you feel this is an accounting tricks, right, with this budget. What am I leaving out?
Protecting national parks.
Hmm? Okay.
If I'm a bad guy because I believe in making sure that children have equity in quality preschool and improving our economic outlook into the future, I'm okay with that. If I'm a villain because I don't believe in fooling people with paper accounting tricks to say that you're saving money that you would have saved anyways, I'm okay with that. And if I'm the only one who's interested in protecting one of the three national parks in the state of Arizona, I'm perfectly okay with that too. I love Sahuaro National Park. And I think we all do. And frankly, I think it's the largest economic driver that we have in southern Arizona is the beauty of the Sonoran Desert. What's wrong with this picture?
All right, Joe Ferguson, then we'll go to the two callers who are patiently waiting on the line. Go ahead, Joe Ferguson.
Richard, on these 4-1 votes, how much longer can you be chairman?
Well, that's a very good question. Hmm. And if I am removed from the chairmanship, I will become that same voice on the Board of Supervisors from another seat.
All right. Matt has been waiting patiently. Matt is up at 790-2040. A question for Supervisor Elias. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. Surprised you guys aren't like tuning on Mona's right now. You need to bring a box with you every time they Fridays.
Well, so Bill stops by every Friday, but then he eats it on the way in, so it doesn't even make it to the station. Yeah, that's the problem.
I actually do need to pick one up to bring in. Mm-hmm. Real quickly, the New York Times Supervisor Elias did a very extensive article that included outlined Banner UMC's practices. Now, while the Arizona Daily Star did also address it and focus on and challenge Banner, the county does a lot of work with Banner as well, with the county hospital. Have you looked into that just to see what the procedures and practices there? And finally, I think the flood control budget's around $16 million, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Take care. Bye. All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. I'm not sure about the Banner story. I mean, I saw what was published in the Daily Star. Yes, we do invest about $15 million in the South Campus of Banner Hospital here in Tucson. That is an investment in graduate medical studies. So that's critical to us as well. But it's also about keeping a hospital open on the south side. Do I want to make sure they're efficient and have good practices? Absolutely. But we also need to have a hospital on the south side.
I think that story was really, especially the Times report, was looking at things nationally, but mentioning Tucson, it was about how immigration agencies deal with patients who are going to the hospital, and how a lot of medical professionals, doctors and nurses, aren't happy with how they have, you know, basically immigration agents hanging out in the hospital all the time. And, you know, some people end up being shackled to their beds, and many of them say that it interferes with their ability to treat people properly.
Right, Dylan. And for the most part, when Border Patrol enters into a hospital or has someone that they've taken into custody that needs to be treated at a hospital, they don't arrest them. And that's why they hang out there at the hospital, because they're guarding them to make sure they don't leave. But ultimately, if they arrest them, then they have to pay their hospital bills. So it's more attractive for them to not arrest them and leave
just
the hospital
just wait until
with uncompensated debt.
All right. We will get to the bicycle park, which is coming up. But first, I want to go to Robert, who's been waiting. And this is a note to Bob, my engineer producer. Bob, we're going to keep this. We've got so much going here. We'll keep it to 35 minutes past the hour. A little bit of internal business there. Okay, Robert, go ahead.
Richard, those of you who want this to be a sanctuary city, why haven't you hosted or fostered one of these families that have come across the border on foot?
All right.
At your own home.
Okay. Thank you, Robert, for your call. Let's see what Supervisor Elias has to say to that question.
My family has made numerous personal donations to the folks that have been staying over at the monastery. And I don't think you can ultimately question the Elias family and their commitment to immigration. Even when we were out in the ranch in Sopori, we took care of people all the time. And we will continue to, and I'm not ashamed of any of my activities or the fact that I have not had any migrants staying at my house. But I think everybody knows in this community how dedicated I am to seeing that we have fairness in our border policies and that our borderlands remain the peaceful, generous kind of place that the Tohono O'odham people have had since time immemorial.
All right, Joe Ferguson, what's going to happen with this park? Would you set this up for us, this bicycle park?
Well, this is a classic fight between a developer and their neighbors on what to do with about 20 acres that's just across the street from the monument. It is in the buffer zone itself, and it has significant opposition from the people that are living across the street from it. The proposal calls for approximately 40 casita-style bike lodges on 20 acres. It'll be a dense proposal. Among the features of it include a fairly large leach field for the sewer and this development. And neighbors are concerned about it.
Fairly large? Can you articulate that a little bit?
I think it's more than half the size of the entire area, but I top off top of my head.
So the attraction of this place would be for tourists to go there who like to ride their bikes. Would they be riding their bikes on the property or touring through the national park?
They'd be touring on the national park, but also
so this isn't like a dirt bike track stuck
no,
out there
it's
or something
it's
like
it's
that.
Something a little more fancy than that. I think there is some concern though that Old Spanish Trail would have people who are not familiar with the region riding their bicycles on what is can be a very dangerous road for cyclists.
I think there's also some synergy that they're trying to gain from proximity to the loop, as well as to other trails that are available there at Sahuaro National. I might also add that county trails are used by bicyclists all the time, and actually it's prohibited on every trail in Pima County.
I should probably back up in just a second and say that a near identical proposal went before the Supes about 4 years ago and failed.
Mm. Same location?
Same yes. location.
Same you group know, that was behind it? Or
yes.
Same for group. Me, the problem is, you know, Joe outlined a good example with the leach field of problems related to the development plan as it's currently being proposed. I'm not so sure improvements to that development plan change the situation any. The problem for me is its location and whether we're going to continue commercialization of that area and encroachment onto one of the three national parks that we have in the state of Arizona, and quite frankly, one of the few national parks in the United States that's urban in nature. So encroachment is always going to be a problem. The city council approved a commercial development a little further down the road on Old Spanish Trail, what was it, 2 years ago? And then the deal fell apart and it was not able to be built. Thank God, because I think that was a very bad decision.
It was a shopping center?
Yes, it was going to be like a grocery store mm-hmm. and some other kind of shops and maybe some kind of people with phony Danish Kringles or something. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm just joking.
Counterfeit Danish Kringles.
Danish Kringles.
It has to be an original Mona's Danish Kringle or it's counterfeit. Yeah.
So I don't know. But my point is further commercialization in that corridor and in what should be a well-controlled, well-defined buffer zone for a national park is just a bad vote.
What kind of development would be appropriate for that 20 acres?
Well, it's currently zoned for SR. So that's one house per 3.3 acres. And I'll be honest with you, Dylan, it may not be as appealing visually to develop it. But that is the current zoning. And frankly, I think it's correct and would probably do better for that area environmentally and better for the other residents around it, better for the wildlife definitely on Sahuaro National, and would really help put an end to further commercialization in that area surrounding the gate.
What will the vote? Is this a final vote, Joe, that's coming up?
It could be unless there's delayed again.
It's a conditional use permit, and it would be... This is the big vote.
Hmm. And
it could be continued.
Okay.
But the developers have told me that they're not really very interested in having continuances. They want to know Tuesday.
If for chance this budget were to fail on Tuesday, is it true you would go back to last year's budget?
Well, that's not
that
not necessarily.
Okay.
What happens is that we would still have until second Monday in August to pass a budget.
Right.
And then we have to pass a levy on that Monday. But if we're unable to come to agreement on a budget, then last year's budget would become in place again. So theoretically, I could call for a special meeting as the chair that would give us the opportunity to look at some other budget proposals, or we could go to that first meeting in August as well, still without a budget and still be able to pass one. And it would all be okie dokie.
The early childhood education, you were just looking at this as a start. You weren't looking at what you consider to be a fully funded kind of deal for early childhood education, correct?
Yes.
This was just to open the door, in effect, right?
This is how we're going to build the partnerships with the school districts, with First Things First, with private sector people who have an interest in it. This is how you put together a coalition of people. The empirical data all across the country shows that it's successful, but there's nothing like showing a modicum of success right in your own community. This is about equity. This is about equity in education. And if you've ever met a child who's gone to a quality preschool, you will be stunned, because they are smart, they are generous, and they understand that they're on a good trajectory towards being successful in school. I can't tell you how vivid the difference is between kids who get to go to a quality preschool and kids who don't even make it to a preschool.
All right. Before we wrap it up, you watched two nights of the debates. Are you undecided in the Democratic presidential race?
Well, we have a long way to go in the whole thing. I do like Senator Harris. But I think there's other candidates that are great, too. So I remain open, and I'm sure someone's going to emerge. And I'm really hoping that they are victorious in the next presidential election.
Okay. Joe or Dylan, anything more?
I just want to know who fell off your list this week.
any which candidate?
So you were sitting there with your scorecard crossing a few people off. Who's out?
Probably Mr. Castro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't do it for you?
No.
All right. I saw a whole lot of very positive reaction on social media, especially during, but what something specific or just a general?
Just unimpressed.
Yeah?
Unimpressed. I mean, I think he's a fine gentleman. I met him once over at the Jackson Employment Center in South Tucson, and so he's a very nice person. He's polite and everything, but I'm just not excited. I think we need someone a little more forceful.
All right. Pima County Supervisors Chair Richard Elias, thank you, Supervisor, for coming in on this Friday afternoon. Hope you have a great afternoon and a great weekend.
Thank you, Bill.
And again, you're saying that it did actually rain at your house for 5 minutes this morning.
Bill, I swear, saw it, man. I wasn't like just still dreaming.
Wow.
The smell was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, nice. Well, so the monsoon is coming. All right. Joe Ferguson sticks around, as does Dylan Smith, for the roundtable portion of the program. We've got a few things to address. We'll be right back on Buckmaster.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
This is Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We thank Supervisor Richard Elias, who articulated for us what's going to be going on at that meeting, important meeting with the Board of Supervisors. Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star will be there on Tuesday morning covering that. And Dylan Smith is with me in studio.
I may drag myself down there for that meeting as well.
You may pop in as well, right?
Usually I watch it streaming online because it's just so much easier.
So,
but
hard to ask
sometimes you just got to see things go down in person.
So we think this is going to, the money's going to come out of the most of it, the bulk of the $10 million. They're trying to figure out where to get it out of flood control. Is that kind
flood control is part of it, but they have to do something of about $10.6 million for the overall budget that has nothing to do with flood control, and they're looking at a number of freezes in terms of hirings. The sheriff specifically is deeply, deeply concerned with this, saying that he's having a hard time as it is keeping those numbers up, and a 2-month or 3-month hiring freeze would be devastating to his department. So,
and some of it would be wage freezes for a whole lot of county employees. And he didn't get a chance to talk about it today on the air, but one of Richard Elias's big objections is the fact that a lot of these folks hasn't had a real pay increase for quite some time. And plenty of, basically paper accounting tricks, which play both ways in the budget.
Well, $10.6 million on a $1.4 billion budget is not a lot at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's a marginal amount of money out of the whole thing. But when you start digging into what happens, what doesn't happen, you've got some serious issues to deal with.
As you wrote in Political Notebook today in the Arizona Daily Star, Joe Ferguson, President Trump tweeted his endorsement for Senator Martha McSally. Your colleague Tim Steller noted on Facebook that it was Tim kind of felt it was sort of real early for the president to be making an endorsement of a Senate race that's still 17 months away or something like that.
It might be, but maybe. The money that's flowing into that race is just astronomical. It will be once again one of the best races in the country, with people everywhere throwing money at this race. It will be hard to turn on a TV, open up your mailbox, or even listen to the radio without hearing some kind of political ad for, probably the next 12 months. Mm-hmm.
The Republican National Committee is pretty worried that McSally would see a primary challenger from the right and, undermine support from her and make it, that much more difficult for her. She had, of course, a very tough race last time when, in fact, she lost, even though she ended up being appointed to the Senate anyway. So they're trying to boost her any way they can, and that includes, not having an intra-party fight to see who is actually running.
And there is
next time.
This cosmetic, he owns a cosmetic company that's been, he was a huge supporter of Donald Trump, made a huge donation in 2016, and he has been flirting with a primary run against
pretty
McSally.
Openly. He was, gleefully posting all these stories on Facebook yesterday.
McCarthy, I believe his name is. And this is something I wanted, Joe and Dylan, I wanted to bring up in my interview with Martha McSally, but Senator McSally told me that she was doing the interview from the federal capitol, and that she was prohibited by law, Dylan Smith, from making any comment. I asked her about the president's endorsement and about a possible primary challenge, but she said that she's prohibited from saying anything about politics on that level at the Capitol.
There is the federal Hatch Act, as it's known, which bars government employees, including the members of Congress and senators, from campaigning using government resources. Whether commenting on an endorsement or a potential challenger, it would be considered the sort of direct campaigning that would be illegal is, I think, to be generous, maybe a fuzzy area. You know, you can't ask for money. You can't ask people to vote for you. Those sorts of things are very much barred. But just talking about running, we see people do that all day long on cable TV when they're standing in the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol.
Yes.
So I think she was, quite honestly, dodging your question.
Okay. And I got to tell you, as somebody who worked in D.C. and covered the Senate and the House, inside the Senate and the House, we talked politics every day, all the time. It was never an issue. There were stand-ups, there were press conferences, and it was definitely talking about political strategies.
Who's winning the money race between her and former astronaut Mark Kelly?
Well, we are at a point where we will know some new numbers very soon, but Mark Kelly, coming out of the gate, had an incredibly strong start, but
we'll see if that was just a burst of initial enthusiasm.
Correct.
So McSally is obviously worried about a challenge, and I'm sure that she's talked to some the president. I don't know if she asked the president directly for that endorsement at that time, but I mean, this challenge, they're trying to avoid that, Dylan, at all cost, I'm sure.
Well, it would be expensive, and this is already going to be an expensive race. And if you're going to run a tough statewide race, you don't want to have anything that's gonna damage your brand as you're trying to set yourself up, and certainly a primary would do that.
It doesn't look like the Democrats are going to have a similar primary.
Everybody else is sort of bowed out, basically clearing the way for Mark Kelly to be that candidate. We might have a couple people, some minor fringe folks toss their names in, but as far as people who are going to, attract money and attention and run serious campaigns, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
Blake Morlock, who is wrote a very interesting think piece about the mayoral race, the Democratic primary, Dylan Smith. It was very interesting to get his take on a race that I've been around a long time, and I really don't have much of a feel for this one. But it just seems like Blake hit the nail on the head with the piece that's at TucsonSentinel.com.
Thanks. Yeah, it's an interesting race and a very important one for our city's future. We have a wide open race for Tucson mayor that's happening right now that is not getting a whole lot of attention. Here we are talking about a senatorial race that's going to happen in a year and a half or something. But
and early voting begins in the city in about 4 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Ballots will drop 29 days from now.
Correct.
So, people will be able to start making their choice amongst these three Democrats and
four Democrats in Ward 1. And the winner wins the city council seat.
Those are the only primary contested seats. In the mayor's race, there is not a Republican going to be on the ballot at all, it looks like. So we have an independent candidate, Ed Ackerley, who will be on the ballot in November. And then whichever of these the trio of Democrats, you've got Raheena Romero, Steve Farley, and Randy Dorman, one of them will be there. So,
and Blake pointed out,
the big choice is going to be made, from the month from the when early voting starts at the end of July through the, what was the actual primary date? August 27th?
August 27th.
Then, so, that people should pay attention now rather than later.
And the bottom line with Blake's piece, it will come down to organization like it always does.
Well,
no?
I don't know. I mean, this race has a lot of different facets to it. And I think something we really have to understand is that, there are some really old enemies for some of these candidates out there. And so we are seeing PACs being formed. We are seeing old grudges become anew. I mean, Raheena has been repeatedly asked over and over again about the El Rio controversy with Grant GCU. I don't think that's going away, and I think that that's going to be play a major part in this election.
The Grand Canyon University deal.
And that controversy really grew out of people searching for something to use because they already have a grudge against her, and in addition to the specific facts of what went on there. You know, a lot of this stuff is, you know, some very personal level politicking that goes back a couple of generations, really.
Yeah.
Well, who has the better organization of the three?
Better, it would be, you know, better in what sense? I think, Raheena Romero certainly has the ability to tap into what people call the Grijalva machine.
She's very well known. Of course, Farley's very well known, and Randy Dorman would be considered the newcomer.
Newcomer, but somebody who also gets to frame herself in a way that the other two can't because they are, you know, that much more part of the machinations that have gone on in politics in this town.
And that Ward 1 race is fascinating, too. Got four candidates, four Democrats. I have no feeling on that one.
It'll be a tough race. Yeah. I mean, I think that Lane Santa Cruz has the support from Raheena Romero. I think that will have some carryover in terms of name recognition and lists to contact voters and things like that. But it's a free-for-all right now.
All right, gentlemen, what's coming up in the paper? We mentioned briefly about flood control.
Yeah, I've got a story coming in about flood control, but our A1 story is going to come from our border reporter, and I think it's going to take a really good close look at some of the things going on in federal court this week.
Sunday's Arizona Daily Star, and again at TucsonSentinel.com.
Now, something we didn't hit on, if I could mention real quickly, please, would be that the ward-only vote initiative will not be appearing on the ballot in November. The supporters of that were just not able to get the signatures and certainly weren't able to raise the kind of money to, you know, really get people out there and make that happen. So,
but Sanctuary City, Joe, you think is going to make the ballot?
I've talked to two of the supporters and they say that they have well over the minimum requirements and they are confident that they'll survive any kind of challenge to kick them off the ballot.
That's going to be fun to watch.
So it'll go to voters, but will they pass it?
Correct. All right, gentlemen. Joe Ferguson, thank you very much. Dylan Smith, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thank you.
Matt Russell's coming up next with Weekend Watch on Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Join hundreds of other Arizona businesses who have chosen to put kids first. The Corporate Tax Credit Scholarship Program's deadline is June 30th. Eligible businesses will receive a dollar-for-dollar tax credit. IBE, a school tuition organization, is ready to help. Talk to your accountant today. A one-minute application to IBE and we take care of the rest. IBE works with over 290 diverse schools, awarding 95% of all corporate donations to low-income and disabled students. Deadline, June 30th. azcorporatetax.org.
Stir It Up, Baby, Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. The great time of year to drive 3 hours to Silver City. First of all, it's a beautiful part of the Southwest United States, and it's a lot cooler over there because of that mile-high elevation. Check out southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of great places to stay and so many ideas for recreating in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist and dedicated foodie, Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, with us now for Weekend Watch. Any celebrations of local restaurants coming up, Matt?
Yes, sir. You know, it is really hard to believe that it's been 6 years since the first location of Tap and Bottle Beer and Wine Bar on North 6th Avenue first opened its doors. And whenever there's a birthday where craft beer is sold, expect the suds to flow. The Big Bash is called 6 Years on 6th, and it's tomorrow from noon to midnight. Now, the party is going to spill out on to 6th Avenue, where they're going to have a beer garden and some food trucks, mariachis, birthday cake, plus the official release of a new collaborative brew from the Tombstone Brewing Company. I'm going to be swinging by Tap and Bottle downtown tomorrow to say cheers to 6 years.
Yeah, I bet you'll do some sampling while you're there. What about the Iron Chef competition? You've always been involved with that. That's always a big event.
For sure. It's an epic culinary battle tomorrow night at Casino del Sol, the annual Iron Chef Tucson. It's going to pit incumbent Brian Smith of Maynard's against challenger Wendy Gothier of Chef Chic. Now, of course, this is a fast-paced display of cooking chops. These two chefs only get 60 minutes to prepare and plate four courses for the judges. And, of course, each dish must include the secret ingredient, which will be revealed just minutes before the clock starts. It's definitely going to be a party. I'll be doing the live play-by-play from the stage. There's a few tickets left. You can get them today at ironchieftucson.com.
What's this about a gut dinner? G-U-T dinner? Right to the gut, huh?
Absolutely. The Gastronomic Union of Tucson, affectionately known as GUT, is at it again. This is a collaborative 24 local chefs who will be teaming up for a special five-course dinner on Sunday night that pays tribute to our celebrity missionary, Father Tino, and his travels across the Baja in the 1700s. You know, these are the kinds of foods that Father Tino introduced that really forever changed the culinary landscape of this region. The dinner at the Carriage House Sunday night downtown. You can reserve your seat at the table at carriagehousetucson.com. This is going to be a lot of food. And, Bill, it's no wonder that the Gastronomic Union of Tucson is called GUT, literally.
Very appropriate. And that carriage house venue is really a nice one, too.
It really has become kind of a community center for the local culinary arts. Live kitchen demonstrations, cooking classes, special culinary events. Devin Sander and Giannis Wilder have teamed up to bring us this special place downtown. It's one of my favorite places to stop along my downtown culinary journey.
All right, Matt Russell, thank you very much. Have a great 4th of July. We'll talk to you on the 5th of July. Thanks, Matt.
Looking forward to it, Bill. Thanks.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music composed by Christophon. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, everyone here at KVOI, including engineer and producer Bob Dio, the entire team at Bustos Media, all of the folks here doing such a great job in support of the Buckmaster Show, and everyone has the same wish for you. Have a very safe and pleasant weekend, and we'll be back with you Monday.